So that won't be true. That what will be true is that we'll bear much fruit. And when we bear much fruit, God is glorified. Because we can't be fruitful by ourselves. Any amazing fruit in our life shows that God's at work in us. It brings God glory and it affirms to us, it gives us confidence that we are Jesus' disciples ourselves. So this is the verse that I'd love for us to take at the start of this year. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So I've got a couple of questions for us to reflect on. How can we bear more fruit? If that is true, then how can this year Jason Howard bear more fruit? How can the life of Jesus in us bring more of his life through us? If you go to the... Oh, there it is. How can that be true as I go into 2023? There's one key, and then there are three areas that I want to talk about. The first key, that if I wanted to bear more fruit, if you wanted to bear more fruit, the key, it says in this passage, is to remain in me. It's so complicated, isn't it? There's not like 300 steps that you've got to kiss each step on the way up and say some kind of mantra. There's not a whole bunch, forgive me Catholics, but a whole bunch of Hail Marys that you have to roll through with your rosary. It's not that. It's remain in me. Remain in me. I'm the vine, Jesus says. You're the branches. Get that through your heads. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Just remain in Jesus. Seems that it's a tough job. We're not great at remaining. But I wonder, in your life, what will help you remain in Jesus? Jesus definitely says there are two things that he would like us to remain in as part of remaining in him. First one is, let his words remain in you. My words need to remain in you. That's a big help. One of the things that I would love for us to work harder at as a church this coming year is our Bible reading. Many of you are daily Bible readers. Many of you are not. It's hard to be more fruitful in following Jesus when you don't read the Bible. It's really hard, especially if you don't read Jesus and his words. Really hard. In fact, it probably won't happen if that's not true in your life. Just will not be more fruitful. The other thing that Jesus says is to remain in my love. Remain in my love. Good reminder for us to reflect all the time on the great grace of God to us in Jesus. To be a mate, like the Christian faith is not one where it starts with rules. It doesn't start with rules, it starts with love. Yeah? Starts with love. God loved us first, and then out of his love, he draws us in love to love him. And then from love, we live obedient lives. So it's the little way it works. Starts with love, and it leads to obedience. It doesn't start with obedience. You don't know, good first, then God loves you. That's Santa Claus. You are loved first. Loved first. And when we remind ourselves, when we remember we're loved first, God's held nothing back in the person of Jesus for me. And we do that daily, right? That in your Bible reading, which is God willing daily, but in your Bible reading and in your prayer, you're starting with reminding yourself of the love of God for you through Jesus. That's the key. The key is remain in me. You go home right now. If you did that, you'll have a fruitful year. But I'm going to give you three areas that maybe you could just, it just helps you focus. Just think about, three areas to think about that might help you go, here's something I could aim for. So when it comes to bearing fruit from this passage, I can see three areas that Jesus speaks to. The first one is about our character and our conduct. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love. Our character and our conduct. When we have the life of Jesus in us, would it be any surprise that we start to become more like Jesus in our character and in our conduct? That we especially love more like Jesus. Especially. That the predominant attribute in your life that should be growing the most is your ability to love like Jesus, which means loving unlovely people. Yeah? Like, if you think about the love of Jesus, the unique thing about the love of Jesus is not that he loves his friends, that he loves sinners. He loves people who are pains. He loves you, right? That's the unique thing about the love of Jesus. And when we think about the people of God growing to be more like Jesus, the unique thing will not be that we love our friends. The unique thing will be we love an unlovely world. We sacrifice for an unlovely world. That's the unique thing. And so when we're bearing fruit and when there's more fruit of Jesus in our life, our character and conduct should be becoming more like Jesus, particularly in the area of sacrificial love. The second thing I notice from this passage when it comes to bearing fruit is we can have confidence in asking. Confidence in asking. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, have you ever had somebody, probably your child, come and say to you, "Can I ask you something?" And you have to say yes. Ever had that happen? And you're like, "No, I'm not writing that check." That sounds like what God's doing with us. Ask whatever you like. I'm going to say yes. I'm like, crazy God. But not so crazy when someone that you know knows your heart, aligns with your values, are people you trust, not so crazy. When they come and ask you, you know that the ask is going to be something you really, really want them to have. Yeah? And that's what Jesus is talking about, is when his life is in us, when our character and conduct are more like his, our heart is close to God's, our values are aligned, our ambitions and hopes are more like what God wants. God says to us, you can have confidence in asking and it will be given you. That's part of bearing the fruit of God in our life. Because some of the things that God asks us to do, only God can do. And he wants us to ask him. Ask me so that I give you what you need so you can do what I've asked of you. Ask me. I want you to ask. Now, I wouldn't say we're tremendous at asking in this church. I don't think we're good askers. I don't know if we're good prayers, but on the asking side, I don't think we're great. We could get stronger at having more confidence that we can ask that God will act. Have you ever had somebody in your life that you know God listens to? Or have you ever had somebody say to you, "Could you pray for me because I know God listens to you? Seems to answer what you're praying for." Ever had those people? where you go, wow, they are super close to God. I want them on my team. Because they're going to ask and God's going to listen. You could be that person. You could be that person. That person, well, I've had numbers of people in my life that are like that. But one, sadly, she passed away last year, Auntie Pauline. I would say Auntie Pauline for me was one of those askers. That I knew her and God were like this, they were tight. I had to get whatever I'm after on Auntie Pauline's list. Now the thing is Auntie Pauline was pretty tight with God. So sometimes, it would be more accurate to say that she knew me more than I knew her. She knew me from the day I was born. But there'd be times I'd say, Auntie Pauline, can you pray for this? And say, no, God doesn't want that for you. What? yeah, she's right. I reckon in all the years that I knew Auntie Pauline, she was really, really off the mark. There was a lady in our church when I was youth pastor here, and she sadly had a string of miscarriages, like too many. I won't say too much because numbers you might remember, but too many. And I was talking to her one day at church, and she was just understandably heartbroken. I thought, we've got to pray for you. At that time, and call me a small man, but at that time, I could not think of a person in my church, this church, that I wanted to ask to come and pray. I could think of Pauline. So I rang Auntie Pauline. I said, Auntie Pauline, we've got a lady in our church who needs you to come and pray for her. She came and we had a really powerful, unbelievably powerful time of prayer with Pauline and this lady. And I don't think many people in our church would have been up for it. I wonder if that's true still, but back then I don't think that many in our church would have been up for it. Pauline was up for it, and now you could call it coincidence or you could call it the hand of God. But that dear sister has got children now. But it wasn't just having children. It was the healing work that God did in that prayer time. And I was a spectator. Because I'm telling you, I'm the pastor right in this little room. But I'm the spectator because I know Pauline has confidence in asking. And I was watching. I learned a lot from that hour and a bit. How about you? Somebody in your life needs a breakthrough, needs healing, needs help. And they're thinking, who can I have on my team to pray? Because they know God listens to them. Would they think of your name? That's part of the fruitfulness of our life. You can have confidence in praying. That God, if you ask Him, will give it to you. The third one is contribution. Jesus says, I choose you and appoint you so that you may go and bear fruit. This fruitfulness has to mean something about our contribution into the world that we live in. Jesus says, you're not a servant, you're a friend, you're part of the master's business now. I want you to notice that when he says, I choose you and appoint you so that you go, that you might go and bear fruit, the bearing fruit has the word go attached to it. Did you notice that? That if you're going to bear more fruit, you're going to go. Now, of course, that makes me think of Matthew 28:19, going into the world and making disciples, but it means going into the world about our master's business. That the fruit that will last is the fruit that God is wanting you to bear in the world that we're living in. There's a book written by Tim Hawkins, and it's called The Fruit That Will Last. And it's about youth ministry. And the reason why Tim Hawkins wrote this book is his concern was that all of our youth ministry, our youth groups and our youth pastors were doing all this activity and not enough people were following Jesus after it all. He's like, how do we make sure that as we go, we're bearing fruit that will last, and the fruit is not the fun, though fun is great. The fruit is not the memories, though the memories are awesome. The fruit is not your friends, though that is good too. The fruit that will last is people following Jesus. You know, you and I go to glory. No one is asking in glory, I think, what job you did. I think in the scheme of eternity, whatever dam you build, whatever road you lay, whatever thing you do, in the scheme of eternity will look pretty small, but not change lives. Not change lives. Changed lives are eternal fruit. Changed lives in terms of following Jesus. Changed lives so somebody's life is better. Changed lives are where the master is at his best work. And that's what we can do. So, there's the key, remain in me. And then here are three things that you could think about as you remain in Jesus. My character and conduct, how could I bear more fruit in that? My character and conduct, how can I bear more fruit in that? My confidence in prayer, how can I bear more fruit in that? And my contribution to the master's business, how could I bear more fruit in that? This year coming is going to be pretty uncertain, I'm sure. We don't know what's going to happen, but here's what could be true for your year. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That could be true, because here's what we know. We know already God is fully invested in you bearing much fruit. We know that already. Fully committed to you bearing much fruit. Here's the choice bit. Are you? That's the choice bit. Are you? Because if you are, then that could be true for this year. I want us to do this final exercise. This word up here. And get it to change. I forgot my glasses today, so I'm struggling to read the writing. Can't get it up. Here's the question I'd like you to think about. What would you like to bring into this year? What would you like to do this year? Let me pray. I give us some silence as we consider that. God, I want to just intro this brief little pause with a simple prayer. The prayer is this. Help me use this year to bring you glory by bearing more fruit. Could you use this time right now to put your finger on one thing that we can do so that might be true? Spirit of God speak to us. God, what I know is you're going to whisper into our hearts today. Something that you want us to hear. May we have open hearts to you. May we write it down. May we turn it into an action and make it a habit. So that this year may be yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. I'm going to sing this final song, In God We Trust. No morning tea today, but hang around and chat. I'll be at the front. Let's stand together.